Welcome to San Francisco City Insider. I'm Dominic Fracassa, a City Hall reporter for The Chronicle. In the face of pronounced and worsening racial disparity and inequity in San Francisco, officials here created the city's first Office of Racial Equity. The office's task? Find ways to root out and repair the harms caused by policies that have created, upheld, or exacerbated racial disparities in San Francisco. For San Francisco City Hall, the search begins within. It's early days at the Racial Equity Office, but their job will be to analyze city policies, meet with departments, and develop plans to address racial disparities within individual departments and the communities they serve. Departments that don't meet their racial equity goals could face consequences. Shakira Simley, the office's first director, is leading the charge. She joins San Francisco City Insider now to talk about the work underway. Shakira Simley, thank you so much for being with us this afternoon.
Thanks for having me, Dom. I appreciate it.
So we are here to talk about a lot of things, actually. But first and foremost, I think what I want to help people understand is what your office is all about, the Office of Racial Equity. That's, that's a big umbrella just in the title. So help us understand a little bit about what the role that your office is going to play in San Francisco.
For sure. So the office, just for a little bit of history, the Office of Racial Equity and its formation has been years in the making. It started with Supervisor Leah Cohen and then Supervisor Lennon Breed, now Mayor Lennon Breed, and Director Cheryl Davis wanting to see a stronger commitment for racial equity in San Francisco. And over time, kind of that baton was passed to former Supervisor Valley Brown for District 5 and Supervisor Sandra Lee Feuer of District 1, who really worked together on the crafting of the legislation with the Human Rights Commission. And I was a part of that process.
As an aide for
Supervisor Valley Brown. And I, working on that process was really illustrative in doing kind of a history of understanding the why this is so important and also taking a deeper dive as to the current picture of San Francisco. And, the legislation passed last July. It was signed by the mayor in October of 2019. And I'm happy to serve as its inaugural director. So just started 1 month in. And the goal for the Office of Racial Equity is to help create a San Francisco that is safe and inclusive and diverse for everyone. And working as a North Star that will light the pathway for the, collective liberation, support, and empowering of communities of color here in the city. So with that mandate, there's very specific things that we'll do that I'm sure we'll jump into later. But, I'm really thinking about how we can work, acknowledging our past history in San Francisco, looking at a current picture of what's actually happening. Are we actually espousing our progressive values, and what does that look like? And then how do we build for an equitable, more hopeful future where folks can survive and thrive regardless of their race?
I mean, obviously that sort of mandate or that goal to be that North Star is laudable in every way. But the need for the office, I think, is precipitated by a long history of inequity in San Francisco. Can you talk a little bit about, just the state of equity and inequity in San Francisco? And let's talk about what equity is. I mean, because we can't really talk about the Office of Racial Equity until we talk about what equity stands for.
Absolutely. I think when people think about racial equity, they think about equality, and they think that somehow we exist in a system that's a meritocracy, that if everyone just had equal access, then the world would be better. But that doesn't take into account our historic systems and current picture that perpetuate inequities. So, for example, Dom, if you and I apply to college, based on my experience as a Black African-American here in this country versus your experiences, even if we have equal access and opportunity to apply for college, there's going to be disparate outcomes. And what we're focused on is not kind of pretending that that meritocracy exists, and that, you know, if we just kind of wave a wand and provided everyone with jobs or equal access to housing, that somehow will fix the past. No, I think we need to look at, you know, what current systems are in place and how they were created. So looking at past policies, programs, ordinances, decision-making, budgetary decisions, so past racial harm and how that impacts people now, and having to make amendments to our current systems to account for folks who are most impacted. And that's the equity that we're talking about. And if we're going to do racial equity work meaningfully, we have to tell, not even just tell the truth about ourselves, but tell the whole truth about ourselves.
As a city.
As a city. Yeah. And looking at us as a city, I mean, it's not a pretty picture. You know, the city was founded on stolen indigenous land, first and foremost. It was built by folks of color. So, you know, from our Chinese population who came here and, you know, suffered under a whole number of exclusionary policies. Mayor Lyndon Breed, in her comments at the Tuesday board meeting, talked about the 1870 Quebec Air Ordinance, which displaced Chinese renters from their homes and from land in favor of white San Franciscans. From our migration and the diaspora African Americans who built the city and have worked at the shipyards and built up neighborhoods and suffered under maybe just systemic racism, but also just thinking about redlining and restrictive racial covenants would help create residential segregation, which San Francisco is still very much racially segregated. So many different communities of color have had such harmful experiences. So when we're creating policy, when we are making budgets, when we're deciding prioritization of services, we have to think about who's most impacted and who's suffering the most, and how do we amend for that, understanding that city government has had a long history in enacting that harm.
Yeah, when discussions around race and equity in San Francisco, I think a lot of the verbiage, it makes it sound like these are vestiges, like these are just ghosts that we have to deal with, or ghosts that if you pay lip service to them, that, you know, you've done your duty or your due diligence. But what it sounds to me like, that this is the effects of all of the history that you've just sort of, you know, described and summed up for us, that they have real consequences in the present day. And it sounds like that's what your office has been created to address from now and from going forward as you look back and understand understand the history of it.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, you know, if we think about the history of residential segregation in San Francisco and how that's been like de facto segregation for our communities of color, and not being able to move from different neighborhoods and build wealth, right? Which means that we have an economic, you know, wealth gap between our communities of color and our white communities. So what does that mean for, you know, educational attainment? What does that mean for the ability to have a job where you can thrive and support yourself and your family? What does it mean for the type of schools that you're able to go to? What does it mean for whether or not you'll be touched by our justice system.
Yeah.
And those things are very prescient right here and now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason why this office is really important is because folks are hurting. They're hurting right now. And we can see that. We can walk down the street. We can, you know, look at our neighborhood. We can see our neighbors. We can, you know, even looking at our kids' classrooms, right? We can see the disparities right in front of us. So, you know, my job is to work, you know, with our Human Rights Commission and work with the mayor's office and work with the Board of Supervisors to ensure that we are taking meaningful steps to amend for those disparities. And not gaslight people into thinking that they don't happen just because we're in San Francisco, so we can like wave a progressive banner. But what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, does this place feel like home for folks? Are people included? Is our city actually diverse or turning into a monoculture? You know, what does that actually mean and look like? And these are difficult conversations. These are difficult conversations. And I need to be fearless. I'm going to be fearless in this role and having those conversations and pushing.
Mm-hmm.
I think our community is ready. Folks have been working on this issue for a long time. And now, you know, they have, and when I say folks, I mean our community-based organizations, our, you know, our neighborhood activists, our, you know, city workers have been pushing and pushing. And now we have, now that we have this mandate through the office, we can actually start making some tangible change.
Yeah.
And this year is going to be really important. Right now I'm in listening mode with community, assessing mode, and also triaging. You know, what needs to be prioritized first? Like, what do we need to touch? Like, what can we do more quickly? Government loves reports. We love a dashboard. We love, yeah. You know, thick books of like information. And I'm like, if we're not reading it or if we're not taking those recommendations and turning it into real strategies and policies
yeah.
that can impact people right now who are holding a lot of racial trauma in their bodies, in their homes, in their neighborhoods, in their communities, then like, what are we actually doing?
We'll be right back after a short break to talk more with Shakira Simley, San Francisco's first ever director of the Office of Racial Equity. So one thing that I'm really been interested in talking with you about since the office formed, really, and since I knew that you were going to be leading it, is the notion of you know, what you said a moment ago, that the government loves reports. They love thick briefing books and year-long studies. That it's not to discredit anybody when I say that, like, that makes it seem like government is doing something, when in reality, what you have is a thick book that says, like, here's what we found. And that can be, obviously, that's hugely important and that's hugely useful, but that doesn't always translate into differences in people's lives, which, you know, ultimately, it sounds to me is like what this office is meant to do, you know, to create the pathway for systemic change in mm-hmm. San Francisco mm-hmm. when it comes to racial equity in the city. But what I find really interesting about your agency is that it has some teeth to it. Mm-hmm. You are not going to be just a fact-finding sort of agency. You, and correct, I want to hear this from you, but when it comes to the San Francisco budget, for example, that's held up oftentimes as the way in which the city expresses its values. It's where it puts its money where its mouth is when it comes to here is what we're going to invest in mm-hmm. and here is what we're going to fund and here's what's going to get a little less funding this year. It's a value statement in a lot of ways. I mean, mm-hmm. yeah, the trains need to run and the library needs to open and there are standards, but in a lot of ways there's a lot of sort of value suffused in that document, the budget. So, but what you're able to do in the Office of Racial Equity is to say, look, if we are not living up to whatever goals that we set when it comes to increasing equity in the city and increasing, tackling these systemic issues that you've described, if we don't meet our goals, that has consequences when it comes to the budget. So can you kind of describe what your responsibility is there and what mm-hmm. sort of power you have to sort of enact change through the budget process specifically?
Of course. And I do want to ground us in the fact that the Office of Racial Equity, we will be doing work to daylight disparities. There will be, you know, a racial equity index for San Francisco so we can see how we're faring as a city. And city departments are going to have to work really hard to create racial equity action plans where they do talk about their budgets and talk about the work that they're doing towards funding or resources needed to fund racial equity. Through the Office of Racial Equity specifically, there's two ways in which we're going to go about that and having that accountability measure. Number one is creating a budget equity analysis tool for the entire city. So this is a tool that's going to be used. We'll be sharing it with the board and also with the mayor's office and be developing that with community to help make sure we have a racial equity lens on our funding decisions first and foremost. So starting upstream It's not like, oh, hey, we missed that population. Like, let's like amend for it downstream. No, it's like, let's make sure that we all understand what we mean when we say racial equity and when we're funding and putting resources to racial equity and targeting our communities of color. There's that. The second part is also, once we have information from city departments in regards to their racial equity action plans, and we will review them, those plans are going to help serve as the basis for budget recommendations to the mayor's office and to the board, in addition to policy priorities that will be set by those bodies.
Translate that for me a little bit.
For sure. Yeah. So what that looks like is, folks will create their racial equity action plans by the end of this year. Those plans will be submitted to the Office of Racial Equity. We'll review them and work with departments for feedback. So it's a collaborative process. And, you know, if we are seeing issues that, you know, are not being amended or not being changed, or we're not moving the needle, then that could be the basis for budget reductions, recommendations, or budget increase recommendations to the Board of Supervisors, the Budget Committee, and to the Mayor's Office. What's great this year is that Mayor Lyndon Breed has already put forth equitable outcomes as part of her budget instructions and what she'd like to see. So that is a really great launching pad and attention being put forth to that issue. And then over the next couple of years, what you'll see, what the Office of Racial Equity is definitely continuing to formalize that and hold city departments accountable as we are spending our $12 billion budget. And we'll be able to say, you know, how are we doing? Where did our money go? Is it supporting our, you know, Black community? What does that look like? Is it supporting our Indigenous community when it comes to, you know, mental health? Is it supporting our Latinx community and being able to access housing? And we'll have more data around that, but also the teeth part, which will be, you know, hey, like, we're not meeting that mark. And we're not going to fund something, or we may need to audit something that's not working. And I feel like that is a little bit different than what we've seen in other cities with their different offices of social justice, or offices of equity, or offices of racial equity. Where, yes, like, we can be internally focused and see how we can be better as a city and fight for continuous equitable improvement. And at the same time, we have, like, our service delivery impacts, you know, hundreds of thousands of people every single day, every day. So are we putting our money where our mouth is? Mm-hmm. We need to do so more so. And if we're not doing that, also, community will likely hold us accountable. But we want to be proactive. We want to give folks the chance to kind of think about this more holistically. We don't want it to be an afterthought. You know, racial equity is something that should flow through the veins of city government. And the way that I talk about it, I want people to think about it like we think about addressing climate change, except when it comes to institutional and structural racism, it's a slow disaster that's been percolating for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something that has inhibited communities from being able to unlock their full potential. And government in general has had a big hand in that. So how do we treat disasters? Like, we need to triage, right? We need to deploy resources, capacity, and people. We need to prioritize. We need to make sure that we're starting with our most at-risk populations first and foremost. Mm-hmm. We need to build communities for resilience and for regeneration. So there's a short-term part of this, and there's a long-term part of this. And we'll be playing an active role when it comes to our policy decisions and our budget decisions within city government. But also, you know, I came to this work as an organizer, and I can't do this work without the support and guidance of community. And it's really important to me to make sure that when we're doing this work, as Ayanna Pressley says, the folks who are closest to the pain or the problem should be closest to the power. And community has a lot of power. Community doesn't need a voice. I'm like, I'm not here to be a voice for community. Community already has a very loud voice. They need ears. They need people to listen. And we need to start listening. Mm-hmm. And to not even just to listen, but to really hear them. and take it seriously and acknowledge community expertise and lived experience when we're formulating budget decisions, when we're formulating legislation, when we're making policy or programmatic decisions. Sometimes government comes from a perspective as we know best, but like our track record may show that maybe not always. So how do we correct for that? So I see it as a very collaborative office and process, and I'm super excited to lead that.
I wonder, you were a legislative aide, as we talked about. You've mm-hmm. been in and around government for a little while now at this point. I mean, we'll talk about, you know, your bio. I think it's an interesting one, of course, but you know how government works, is what I mean to say. Mm-hmm. You know how these departments think, especially mm-hmm. when it comes to their budget. And I think that these, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think these are going to be hard conversations with some of these departments who don't meet their equity goals, who mm-hmm. are uncomfortable with the ones that you may set for them in the first place. And I'm not saying that it's, you know, you're going to come in and, you know, say this is the way it's got to be or else, you know, I'm not saying that that's the approach any reasonable person would take. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think that that is going to engender some difficulties within city government. As someone who sits in City Hall every day and just gets paid to pay attention, you know, like I wonder how people are going to take that when they're not meeting their goals, when their budget, when this, your office has the full-throated support of the mayor and the Board of Supervisors, who are the budget-setting entities in this city. And they're going to, I think that that's a very good sign that they will be listening to your recommendations. And so I wonder how you deal with those hard conversations. Do people just need to learn to suck it up and do better? Or how do you approach that? And how do you sort of get past that friction, which seems inevitable to kind of occur?
I would hope that before anyone gets to that point, there are definitely conversations and collaboration where we can move towards racial equity. A lot of this is not, you know, it's not like, hey, like, I'm not racist anymore. I'm going to check this box and I'm great. Like,
we did elect Obama.
Well, so, you know what? In this wonderful post-racial society,
so I have checked
clearly
that box,
we're all
so,
thriving, right? Yes. No, absolutely not. So we have so much more work to do. On so many levels. And I would say, in doing that work with departments, like I said, I'm a collaborative person. Like, I listen, I'm assessing and triaging right now. I want to make sure that if we can't get things done on certain deadlines, we have a plan to make sure that happens. And then, you know, priorities will be set by our mayor and by our board, and making sure that they, you know, we meet the need. I think, you know, in some of my initial conversations with different department heads, they've been really receptive, actually, which has been really helpful. And I think folks want to kind of, they really want to understand. It's like, so how do I actually do this? Mm-hmm. You know,
what is this vocabulary that they're establishing?
It's like, how do I actually bake this into my organization? Or, you know, what kind of trainings are we going to need to make this happen? Or, yes, we are having a very difficult conversation with community on this process. Like, how do we figure this out? So I think I want to lead with that first and foremost. And then, you know, sometimes the rubber will hit the road and it'll be difficult. But I'm hoping that, you know, there's space and grace to move towards something that is meaningful for community, but it might have to be in a longer timeline. Mm. And also depends on what the issue is, too. If
that's
it's something
true.
That's like low-hanging fruit, I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, we can do this. Or if it's something that's a little bit more deeply rooted, you know, it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And I, even though I'm an Aries and a Libra rising and I have fire all across my chart, like, I'm not going to solve for racial equity in the next 6 months or a year. Like, these problems have been circulating in the city for so long, hundreds of years we're talking about in America. And we're going to have to give ourselves the space and time to attack them in a way that's meaningful and direct. You know, we don't need to drag our feet any longer. And I think community is creating that urgency. City workers are creating that urgency. We have a national conversation right now on reparations. We have elections that are happening. There's so many different opportunities that are percolating right now to center racial equity. So I think it's actually a really great time to be able to take on this work.
We also have a local conversation going on about
reparations,
a formal one, at least at this point.
We do.
Supervisor Shimon Walton sort of you know, took to the steps of City Hall with a lot of, you know, community support and support from other supervisors and said, we're going to sit down and we're going to have a conversation about reparations in San Francisco. And he left a lot of room to find out what that's going to look like. He wasn't saying this is what it is. He's saying, like, this is what we're going to talk about, you know, I think in essence. So what is your office's role in that conversation? And what do you think about the approach that Supervisor Walton has taken so far? I mean, that's going to be a difficult conversation in and of itself. I mean, that makes people, you know, blanch just at the word, the utterance of the word, and it can be difficult to understand what that means and what it looks like. So again, what do you make of that process getting underway in a formal sense in the city?
I think it's about time. I think when people think about reparations, they think about just, you know, financial support, but reparations is a framework and a system of addressing racial harm through a number of different levers. And the African-American community has been fighting for this for over 125 years. So directly during Reconstruction, you had an amazing activist, Callie House, who worked to create a mutual beneficiary association for former slaves. And that was like in 1898, I believe, or maybe a little bit early. So that conversation for reparations has been in our community for such a long time. And it has kind of come up in San Francisco over the years. And I applaud Supervisor Walton for you know, taking this opportunity and using his leadership to center the conversation. And that support is being echoed by other Black leadership, including Mayor Breed, you know, folks who are leading our CBOs in the African-American community, our faith-based leaders as well. And there's room in that conversation because, you know, in our community, it has to be led by our folks on the ground and our lived experience. So there's a lot of different solutions in regards to reparations, in regards to anywhere from economic opportunity to housing, to education, to our justice system. So that room is necessary to, you know, make sure that we're going out to community, which is going to be happening with the Human Rights Commission and the Office of Racial Equity and Support and Supervisor Walton's office, to hear directly from folks to, you know, what do they want to see? How do they define this? What does it mean? What would it mean for them right now to have access to reparations for their particular communities? And then that is going to be used to formulate a package of legislation and policy solutions, and really community driven. And the Human Rights Commission and the Office of Racial Equity is going to be a key partner in that listening, in that thought work, but also centering the needs and directives from community first and foremost. It has to.
Well, Shakira, I know you've got a hell of a lot of work to do, so I'm going to let you get back to it.
Dismantling white supremacy. It's going to take some time.
It's going to take a little bit of time, but that's all right. I'm going to let you get back to it. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate you. Thanks.
Our thanks to Shakira Simley, Director of the Office of Racial Equity in San Francisco, for joining us, and to Erica Carlos and King Kaufman, who produced this episode. And of course, thanks to you for listening. We'll see you next time.
San Francisco City Insider is part of the San Francisco Chronicle podcast network. Audrey Cooper is the editor-in-chief. If you like this show, please subscribe and give us a quick review wherever you get your podcasts. Support San Francisco City Insider and a lot of great journalism with a print or digital subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. Find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe.